Hello, this is Deborah Anderson, the Black Woman Animator, coming back to you with another video. And in this video, I have Sabrea Cleaver. Welcome.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Can you introduce yourself?
I sure can. So I'm Sabrea. I am a producer at DreamWorks Animation. And I've been there for about 8 years. So Obviously I like it.
I can't tell. So you're a Los Angeles native. Can you tell me like where specifically you're from and how was it growing up?
Yeah. So I was actually born in Oxnard, which is in Ventura County, but I claim LA because I literally moved from there when I was like 3. So yeah. And like all I know is LA.
Right.
And so I spent most of my time growing up in San Fernando Valley. Spent a lot of time in Northridge. So I went to, most people don't know this, but there's a high school on CSUN's campus. And that's the high school I went to. And so when it was time to like go to college and apply to colleges, like most of the people in my high school were like, I'm just going to walk 2 feet over and go to CSUN. And I'm like, I have to leave. I have to go. Y'all have fun with that.
Right.
So I predominantly grew up in that area. And so I'm still actually over there. Now I'm in Chatsworth, but I've just kind of stayed over there because my family lives over there. So it's just like, I'll drive. I'll do the trek, but it's nice having my home be so close to my family.
Yeah. That kind of sounds similar to like, cause I have a twin brother. And so once we were going to college, I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving. So
yeah.
I've been with this dude for like 17 years.
So. Yeah. I gotta go.
They're like, oh, y'all should go to college together. Like, why?
No, I think we've spent enough. We could reconnect later.
Right.
Oh, that is so funny.
So what are some of your best childhood memories?
Oh, let's see. It's always been me, my mom, and my grandma. So we do everything together. We are like the three musketeers. Like we are so close. So I feel like, you know, we all lived together for a while. And I think just like the movie nights we used to have, like, I feel like I didn't grow up having like the normal childhood of like, I'm watching all the Disney movies. No, they just like threw me in the deep end. Like I was watching Boys in the Hood. I was watching BAPS, which is like now one of my favorite movies. Like these were not appropriate for me as a child, but those were my formative years.
Right.
And so we just like, we always watched movies, but it's so funny that I like never even considered that like I could work in the movie industry one day.
Yeah.
So I would say that. And what else? I think we would go, most of my family's from Texas. So I'm like the only one who's from here. So like naturally I'm Hollywood. That's what they refer to me as. But we would go to Texas a lot. And as a kid, I didn't appreciate it as much as I should have. It was just like, oh my God, what do you mean we're going to 100 degree weather in like 70% humidity? I don't want to do that.
Right.
But I feel like it was my opportunity to like connect closer with my family. And now looking back, like having those moments in that time was so important to me. And now like as an adult where I'm like, oh, I'm choosing to go to Texas. Like before I was like dragged, like screaming, crying, please no. And now I'm like, hey, so when is the next reunion? What are we doing? Should I plan that? Do you want me to plan that? Like, when are we all getting together? It's so nice to see that journey and like how important family is for my mom and my grandma. And so like now that is being instilled in me, which I think is really important.
So what do they think of their Hollywood cousin now?
Oh my God. So let me just give you a little example. I have a giant family group chat. My mom and I went to the NAACP Image Awards this weekend. And they're like, we see you on TV. Here is my movie pitch. When are we making the Cleaver family movie? So like very much they are so supportive, but off the cuff all the time. Like, what is the movie deal? Like, why? What are we doing here? I'm like, okay, relax.
Right. So can you talk more about like the impact that your mom and grandma had on you, specifically with, you know, their choice of career?
Yeah. So my grandma was a restaurant owner, And so obviously she still does the cooking. I don't do any of that, but like she was running these businesses and it was very male dominated. So like she has always supported me in like whatever field I wanted to go in, because trust me, I was bouncing all over the place. I was like, I'm going to be a dancer. I'm going to be a photographer. I'm going to be a therapist. Like I was all over the place. And each time they were like, okay, so what, how much is that camera equipment? Okay, we can work that out. We can work that out. So I felt supported in that way. And my mom is an aircraft mechanic at Northrop Grumman. So like, clearly I know no bounds. Like there is no limit for me. I'm like, if that's what she's doing, like I can do anything. And so that has definitely been the support that I've gotten, even in like male dominated fields. Like I've never felt like, oh, this is something that I can't reach, because I have two examples every day showing me that that's possible.
Right. So what would you say is your cultural makeup? That's not to say what's your ethnicity, or not only to say what's your ethnicity, but also what is the culture of where you grew up and the uniqueness of where you're from?
Yeah. You know, I think it's evolved over the years, but, you know, growing up where I was like, the darkest one in my small family, my mom, grandma, very light skin. They're like, where did you come from? But I always, you know, I grew up kind of insecure about that. And like, even like entering the professional world, it's taken me a long time to like have this comfort with like who I am. And I feel like so many times I was like, how can I hide myself? I don't want people to be intimidated by my blackness. And now I've come into this place where I'm like, blackity black, 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 black. I'm like, I've got like my books of like Hollywood black. I'm like, and I would never do that. But like, it's not to say that my mom and grandma didn't raise me that way. Like they were always proud of who they were. But like growing up in the Valley, which is like predominantly white, and going to schools that were predominantly white, I always felt like that was maybe a part of me that I had to like suppress or hide. And so it's, we have conversations about this all the time now, but as I've like grown and found my community, my mom and grandma are also so proud of me now to see that like, I'm not hiding that part of me. I'm very much like, I'm gonna be in your face about it. Like, I don't need to hide it, because I'm like, I have this opportunity to show that you can show up as your full self and still be killing it. And I think other young women need to see that too. Like, I don't want people to feel like, oh, I got to come into this corporate workspace and I have to like leave everything that is culturally me at the door, because I got to hide that. And so if I have the opportunity and responsibility to show that, then I'm going to. So it's definitely been a journey for me.
That's what's up.
Yep, yep.
Well, you did talk about like movie night and stuff like that, but what are your favorite tradition or favorite thing that you had growing up as a family?
I think I would say just like Christmas and Thanksgiving, even now, like those were just like big monumental moments for us. Like I said, grandma is cooking. She's definitely trying to get out of that job, but we're like, no, that's on you. She's like, when do I get to pass this off? And we're like, never. And so that has always been a tradition for us. So like, you know, she does the majority of the cooking, but like my mom has like her responsibility where she's like, my mom thinks she's healthy. So she's like, I'm going to make the kale salad. And I'm like, okay, no one wants that, but sure, that's your job. And then I make the German chocolate cake. So like we have our little things. And I feel like that has always been like our centering moment of like, we come together and we really do give thanks for like the year that we've had, or just having health and our family. And so I think that has been a really monumental, important part of our relationship.
Nice. So let's get into, what was your journey in like creativity and animation during your childhood? I know you were like all over the place, but like specifically with creativity, what were the things you were doing?
Yeah, I was, like I said, I was all over the place. But I do feel like it's weird now looking back because I always thought I'm like, yeah, I'm not creative. I can't draw. I can't do any of that. And mm-hmm. so, but when I look back, like those were fun moments for me of like when I can like really just like zone in and like, I know I wasn't like creating anything nice, but like just sitting there and creating things like mm-hmm. that was always like something that kind of creatively drove me. Mm-hmm. I think even watching, growing up watching Proud Family, and I didn't watch like all the normal stuff. I laugh because one of my favorite animated movies with me and my mom is Shrek. Like that was our jam.
Right.
And so watching things like that, but again, I never thought that like that could be an option of like somewhere I would work one day. So mm-hmm. my creativity was just based off of like, I love to dance. And so finding these different ways to express myself were just fun and things that were just like, oh, I'm just a hobby. Like I'm just doing that for fun, but not like, oh, I could actually turn this into a career one day.
Yeah.
So I think I was just finding different ways to express myself. At one point I was just like, really into like punk rock music, wearing heavy eyeliner. Listen, I think I've been multiple people in the duration of my life. So every year I was someone new. And so that was just my way.
That was creative.
Creativity, right? Like mm-hmm. expressing myself. And so that's how it came out.
Can you talk about how you got to your like internship for DreamWorks?
Yeah. So I went to Cal State Fullerton, and mm-hmm. by this point I was a photography major. But it just so happens that I was talking to people about doing film. I worked in a movie theater for a while, and I was babysitting for this man who worked at Sony, and I'm like, oh, you work at Sony? What do you do? And I think he's like in business, but I'm like, oh, working at a movie studio. Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I could do that. And mm-hmm. so while I was in college, I was just looking for like different things to jump into. I had gotten an internship with Dick Clark Productions, and mm-hmm. they were working closely with So You Think You Can Dance. And so,
which I love.
Listen, that was like such a fun time for me. So I went to So You Think You Can Dance and was an intern / production assistant. And like, that was my first time really being on a set. And I was like, this, I want to do this. This is amazing. And so then I changed my major to radio, TV, film. And I'm like, I'm pursuing production. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to do. So I had done that internship. And then I was getting to my last year of college and was like, oh, I want to do another internship. I had done the So You Think You Dance stuff. That was great. And I was like, oh, I want to try something different. And it just so happens at the time, DreamWorks was looking for interns and Universal, which is like so funny to me now that Universal owns us. But I applied to both. I was like, I want the Universal one. I'm going to work mm-hmm. for Universal. And I applied to the DreamWorks one because I was like, oh, this will be fun to tell my mom because we love Shrek. But like, right. they don't want me. I can't draw. But what am I going to do there? So I applied, and it's funny, I didn't even get a call back for Universal, but I got a call back for DreamWorks. And so mm-hmm. I came in to this interview and I'm like, oh, I left my portfolio at home. Do you just trust that I am artistic, or how does this work? And I met this panel of production people and I was like, oh, duh. Like, obviously there's got to be production people who are like helping the people who know how to do the drawing.
Yeah.
And I was like, so just like enamored and so in love with just like, I had like five people who were interviewing me and I was like, this is great. Production? Wait a minute. This could be great. And so I ended up getting hired as an intern on High Train Dragon 2, which like, mm-hmm. again, I've hit the jackpot here.
Right.
And no information into animation, no clue, dove in like head first. And I learned mm-hmm. so much. And it was just so different from anything I had experienced. Like, I love live action. One day I hope to like go do something in live action again. Mm-hmm. But it was just the way that I was treated, even as like a lowly intern at DreamWorks versus live action. Like, I always tell people in live action, when you're like a production assistant, if you are invisible and the work is getting done, that means you're doing a great job. And then mm-hmm. I came to DreamWorks and they were like, we see you. And we, Shabraya, what do you think? And I'm like, who are you talking to? There's multiple Shabrayas here. How did that? Right. Because I know you're not talking to me. Yeah. And so to like have those moments of like them being so welcoming and being like, here, let me show you the ropes. Let me show you everything. And I'm like, this is the best. And so like I had a moment after doing like two semesters. I was like, this I think is what I want to do. Like mm-hmm. I feel so creative and in this like very collaborative space. And also I don't have to be on a set for 15 hours a day and I can still have a social life. Yeah, let's try that. I wanna pursue this a little bit. So then I graduated and then immediately it was like keeping in touch with recruiters, being like, hey, here's my resume. I added a comma. I thought you should have this updated version. Just being like, please consider me for anything. And then eventually mm-hmm. there was a role on the movie Home as a production assistant. And that's where mm-hmm. I started.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the part where I list your projects so people can be like, oh my God, somebody that looks like me worked on the stuff that I like.
Yeah.
So you already mentioned, so you think you can dance, and you already mentioned How to Train Your Dragon 2. You already mentioned Home, Kung Fu Panda 3, Trolls, The Boss Baby, Good Grief. What are there any other productions that are on there?
Spirit, Untamed. Mm-hmm. You said Boss Baby, right?
Yeah.
And then I think that's it. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. I never know anymore. I feel like it's been so many movies at this point. Mm-hmm. And then I actually don't know that I could say this yet.
right.
It's in the trade somewhere. Dog Man, the film is something that's happening. So, and then I'm on a few other projects that are happening in development.
Nice. So what would you say is your biggest breakthrough in your career, or have you had multiple?
Biggest breakthrough. I would have to say it's been very recent. I'll say two. So when I got, after Abominable, which I don't know was one that you said. So Abominable, I moved into story edit. I had mostly been doing back end departments, lighting, color finishing, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I finally was like, you know what? I want to change it up a little bit. I feel like I understand back end. I know what it means to like deliver a movie. Now I want to do front end. And so I moved to story edit on Abominable. And that just kind of like shifted my perspective so much in terms of like, oh, the full picture of what it means to make a movie. And so like all those times when I was in lighting, like, why are they changing the story? Don't they know we're trying to make a movie? And then going to story and being like, oh, we're just making this shit up. We're trying to figure it out. So like, now I get it. So sorry about that. But like seeing it go from literally nothing to some words on a page to seeing the way story artists kind of like bring it to life was like mm-hmm. such an incredible experience for me. And so then I was starting to craft like, okay, what is it that I want to do? Like, I really like being a producer. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I want to be. And so I was like, line producer, like, cause me creative again, still leaning off of like, Agandra, I have no creative skills. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, line producer. That's what I want. I want to be the facilitator of the vision. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And so then I got promoted onto Spirit as a production manager. And that was fantastic because again, each one of these roles were giving me like little pieces of the puzzle and I'm like, ooh, I'm crafting a full picture here. And so again, as that production manager, I was feeling like, oh, this is the line producer skills. This is great. I'm like overseeing everything. Everyone was coming to me for everything. Like I was the person and I'm like, this is great. I love this. I'm like facilitating shit. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I had leadership, Jill Hopper, who was the head of production at the time. She was like, I want you to produce this short. And I'm like, by myself, like just me, like I, like a creative, I don't think I could do that. I don't know. And she's like, yeah, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be great. And I'm like, okay, okay. So I spent a period of like almost a year working with development, trying to come up with the idea for the short. So like there was no concept or anything. They were just like, we want to make a short. So have fun, enjoy. So I'm like reading books, like children's books. I'm like reading poems. I'm listening to songs. Like what can spark an idea? And so like I was working with development for that period of time. And this was the first time where I was ever like creatively driving something. Like I feel like I did stuff in college, but it was still like, that's not me. I'm just pretending here. I'm an imposter. And so that was the first time that I really felt like, oh, hold on. Like I do have creative skills. I do have something to contribute here. Even if I don't know everything, like I'm not a genius in story structure, but like I can learn that stuff, but I do.
Right.
I've got opinions. When I watch stuff, I'm like, I don't like that. I really couldn't tell you why. But I was like, I don't care for that. And so developing those skills of being like, okay, how do I verbalize and articulate my thoughts?
Yes.
And then that's going to help me become more of a creative, right? And so I feel like that stepping into that phase and then coming onto these other projects in a more creative capacity was a game changer for me, because I was so set in my mind of like, I'm the facilitator. I don't have any thoughts. I'm just here to give me your things and I will go execute. And so now being in this place where I'm like, no, I'm a creative producer. I have both. I could put together a little budget and schedule, but also I'm going to ask the right questions about the story and understand all of that. Like that has been such a change for me that I didn't realize. And that's only been the last couple of years. So like, I'm still new. So
right now,
definitely reading Saving the Cat. Like I'm trying.
So I watch a lot of Kev on Stage, and like his wife had this whole thing a couple years ago where like Kev on Stage and Joshy Guns, which is their photographer, were trying to convince her that she was creative. And she's like, I'm not creative. And they're like, but they're creative. And so they see, they see it. And they're like, but you are though. Yeah, but she felt, I think her like light bulb moment is like, she felt because like what you had to do for the short, she felt like because she had to research stuff that she wasn't creative. And it's like, creatives understand that we be researching too. Like we have to put in hours too. So that's why we know y'all are creative.
Right.
And we see it, but y'all like, oh, if it's not from the top of the dome.
Right.
I'm not creative. And it's like, it's not from the top of the dome for like creative people either. And all the time.
Oh my God, that's such a good point. A good point. Yeah. It's hard out here.
With you just talking about your like getting into becoming a creative producer, there have been times where you felt that you weren't ready for the next steps of your career. What can you say about being ready?
It's all a facade. Like it's so not real. Like I like want to tell people that too, because I feel like, especially as women, we are the ones who are like, I feel like I need to be ready. What does that mean? Like it, you know that you can get ready. Like, because we're going to work our butts off. If we're offered something, we're going to work our butts off to like figure it out. But I feel like we often put these like restrictions on ourselves of like, oh, I need to have X, Y, and Z before I can even consider doing this. And like, even when I was promoted to production manager, like I said, I worked in lighting department and then I did story edit, but like I didn't manage any departments in between. And so I was like, how am I going to be a production manager overseeing these people? And I haven't worked in the animation department. I haven't worked in the CFX department. Like, how am I going to manage these people? And I haven't even managed their department before. And that's so not necessary. That didn't stop me at all from like doing my job. It was fine. We survived. It was okay. But like for some reason we put these like parameters on ourselves of like, I have to be ready. But like, I think it's like, it's almost a cop out because no one can actually define what ready means. Like, what does that mean? What do you really need? What do you feel like you need in order to do that thing? And so and through my imposter syndrome, I've kind of like shifted it a little bit. I'm like, okay, if I don't feel ready, how can I get ready? So what can I do to prove to myself that this is something that I'm capable of? And I have these moments now all the time where I'm like, even from 6 months ago, like seeing the change, like I'll be sitting in a meeting talking to my directors and I'll say something and they're like, yeah, that's a really good idea. And then like, I just like, first I was like Raven Simone, like out of body, like, wow, look at me now.
Right.
Like, I think we just have to acknowledge like there is a journey there and like being willing to like, even if fearfully, take the journey, jump into it and like figure it out. You can figure it out along the way. Like, yes, it's going to be, it might be challenging than someone who's had 5 years experience already doing this thing. I don't have the experience that, but you can only gain so much experience from actually doing the thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've tried to tell myself. Like, you want to feel more equipped, do it then.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. So that's kind of been my shift in thinking lately.
Let's talk about transferable skills. Like sometimes people toss away or don't respect the experience they gained from working jobs that aren't fancy. Can you talk about identifying skills in jobs before your animation career that helped you in your work today?
Yeah, I say this so much. I worked at Disneyland for 3 years and nothing could have prepared me for like de-escalating situations and dealing with like upset people or like anything more than working at Disneyland. Like I worked in foods. People are angry that they're spending so much money. They're hungry and they're tired. So like we got the brunt the bad people. And so I feel like I gained a lot of skills in that way of like working on a team whenever there was like a crazy rush of people, like us all working together, whenever like there was anything that needed to be done, like even how like annoying it was like to change out the sodas from the soda machine, being like, you know, I'm going to go do it because it needs to get done. And so like, that's what I tell people. I'm like, those skills that you, any kind of guest service or customer service or just like, any of that is so helpful because I know that you can do professional friendliness. I know that you can work on a team. I also tell people, I'm like, even going back to like high school and college, working on a sports team, you understand the importance of that team mentality. You get that. You understand that you are one person within the team of things within the context. So I love to tell people, I'm like, please put those skills on there. It's relevant. It's relevant. Like you can shift it up. There was one, we use her as an example so much. She had, I think she was applying to be an intern and she, on her resume was that she was like a party captain at a laser tag place. And so one of her skills was develop mad laser tag skills. You're hired immediately. Like that has, she had nothing else to do with animation, but we're like, that like being able to showcase that like also you have a personality, like it doesn't always have to be so stuffy, like I know shot grid and software, like no, like sometimes it's also about showcasing that personality and that fun side because like animation is wacky, like it's so different from like live action where you have to be a little bit more buttoned up, but like animation is like No, we bring all that funky stuff here. So like, it's okay to showcase that stuff.
And then sometimes throughout my career, it's been like, you ain't never been part of a club, have you? Like,
yes, exactly. It's like, exactly.
What are we doing?
Like, oh, have you been a board member on a club? Oh, see, that's how I know. That's how I know you ain't got no responsibility skills, no ownership.
And a mini tangent of like when people, you know, the $15 an hour thing of like, you know, fast food workers, I'm like, some of y'all would fold so quickly if you worked fast food. It is a skill. Like, what are you
honestly that pressure? Is like nuts, like, and that being able to like, articulate, verbalize that, like, those skills that you gain and like fast-paced environment. No, that's a fast-paced environment. Like, you don't know fast-paced until you work it in foods, like quick service foods. Too much.
My first job was McDonald's, and I realized quickly that I like working the cashier more than working the grill, because particularly when the grill, like when it was fast paced, because I'm like, I'd have made 52 sandwiches and 30 minutes has passed. Like,
and I literally have not even looked up to like breathe or anything. I just been flipping.
I'm like, what is this? Like, put me on a cash register.
Please, so let time me talk to people. Yeah, exactly.
I done made so much stuff and it's 2 minutes. Like,
yep. Yeah, that's fast paced. Yeah.
So you've mentioned imposter syndrome. So you did a mentorship circle for women in animation called Building Confidence and Overcoming Imposter Syndrome. What inspired you to lead that circle?
I think it was my own journey of like going through this, being like, I can't, and like it being crippling, like feeling like I didn't want to take opportunities because I was like, I don't think that I can do this. And I started to shift that into, again, like the, how can I like prove to myself that I'm ready, but like, how can I use this like crippling anxiety and turn it into like motivation to like continue learning and to continue pushing myself. And I feel like I see a lot of like women and women of color in particular talking about that imposter syndrome. And so I was like, if I could share just like how my journey has gone of like, there's not a day where I'm not questioning myself, but that's helping me because I am never going to feel comfortable or content. Like, I am always going to be working my butt off, which is like exhausting. Cause I'm like, when does that end? When do I just like wake up and be like, I know everything, I'm good now.
I feel like that's what you are supposed to realize in your 20s of like, oh, no, nobody know what they're doing. Okay.
No one knows. So if I could just like share that with people and have them help them shift that thinking into like, okay, I'm going to use this as a driver for me now. Like, I'm not going to let it stop me from taking opportunities, but it's going to just push me to like work that much harder to like get up there.
So working in animation, what have you discovered that you love about animation?
So many things. I feel like, again, just like this collaborative space. I feel so involved and I feel so much ownership of it, even as like an intern and a PA. Like, I'm like, that's my movie. Okay. Like, that is my baby. And it's because you're so welcomed into it and it's like your whole life. And I feel so like supported in that as well. I think the other cool thing is that it's always changing. I mean, cool and also stresses me out. And why I know I will never be like, I know everything, because it'll change in a year. So I do feel like it's so fun now to see these different animation styles coming out and seeing all the things that you can play with. And I'm looking forward to seeing more diverse content too. Like, I always tell people this, I'm like, it's so frustrating to me that like animation already wasn't more diverse, because we are literally making this shit up. Like, live action, it's not like, oh, you know, live action where it's like, oh, this is all who showed up to the casting call. Like, no, we are literally making this up. So why is it not already more diverse? And so I'm looking forward to like pushing more in that direction. But I feel like I see so much growth and evolving to come. Like, it's endless. And I think that's really exciting me.
So you just mentioned it, but like, what are your thoughts on getting more content with Black characters in TV and movies? Like, we have so much stuff that's like even came out in February/March, like, you know, Proud Family, another season, Moon Girl and Double Dinosaur.
My Dad, the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, My Dad, the Bounty Hunter. So what do you think about that?
I am so excited because I feel like we've been so like sensitive with like the stuff that was out there as we were growing up, right? Like it was like Proud Family, so great. But I'm like, okay, which one of those like represents me? Like me, like who am I? And like we tend to like judge things too like so much harshly when there's like one or two, but like now that we're getting to this opportunity where there's going to be like multiple, I'm like, oh, this makes me so happy for all the little young Black girls to be able to see things and feel like that one's me. Like I feel represented there. Like I feel like that's something I can connect to. And so mm-hmm. I'm so excited to see those things. I do feel like even when it was those one things, it's like there's so much pressure to be the one. Like how can you encompass everything in the Black community? I'm like, you can't. You'll have people looking crazy. Like there's so many varied experiences even amongst our community. So like to have each of these that feels so different in that way is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. But I do, I'm like, more. We got a lot of time to make up for. So like we need more. Like I want to see more features. I feel like TV is getting there and it's been great to see that movement. And I know considering projects that I've been on for the last 2-3 years, I know it takes a while, but like I want to see more movies. I want to see more movies. And I hope that we're getting there. It's exciting to see like the stuff that Netflix is putting out. Like mm-hmm. I just want to hurry up and get there.
Do you have any like goals of like creating any of your own projects, and what do you feel is like the importance of incorporating your culture into projects when given the opportunity?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the work that I've been doing has been like helping other people get to like their vision. And so I'm actually, now that I've come into this, like, yeah, I have thoughts and opinions and I have stuff that I want to make. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely now looking at like, after these projects that I'm working on are like done, I'm like, what do I want to make? Like mm-hmm. legit, what is it that I want to make? And being able to like focus on like Black girls specifically, like I would love to do that. But I do feel like even on the projects that I'm on now, like I'm taking advantage of being in these positions where I can be like, oh, the Black character. Okay. I have thoughts. I have notes. let me go in. I'm like, nah, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that. Let me mm-hmm. be 100%. And so like, that's welcomed, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I am looking forward to like building something that is solely my own.
Yeah.
I'm doing a little bit of that. I have a short, with Justin and Chris Copeland. So like we're working.
Oh, nice.
There. And mm-hmm. so like, that's been like our baby. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to have that, but I'm looking forward to moving into the phase where I'm not just doing stuff for other people, but also doing stuff for me.
Yeah, on the last project that I was on, I got to be sort of like a cultural expert. I was like empowered by my showrunner, who's a Black woman, and my supervising director, who's a Black man. Mm-hmm. And like there will be times where, you know, oh, Deb, can you find like reference image for like mac and cheese? And so like delivering the images to the art director and like, just so you know, don't put no breadcrumbs on this. Like,
don't you dare. Don't you dare. I better not ever.
So it's just like, you know, having that superpower of like, even, I feel like I put this on Twitter, like, even if we have like white and Asian, like character designers or background designers,
yeah,
they have to feel comfortable Googling properly, because I feel like in our country, sometimes non-Black people are afraid to say the word Black. Absolutely. And then that transforms into them not Googling the word Black in front of things.
Yes.
So if they're like looking up a bonnet, they don't type like Black people bonnet. Right. So you gonna have like granny from Tweety Bird type bonnet and not the white kind of bonnet.
Exactly. That is so true. I think about that too, in terms of like thinking about the crew makeup. I'm like, mm-hmm. yes, you need people who are on the shows who identify, right? Mm-hmm. But you also, you're not going to put together an all Black crew to make a Black movie. And so where it's our responsibility to like make sure the proper stuff is on screen, it's also our responsibility to like bring in people of other colors too and express to them the importance of the nuance in our performance and the hair and the style and all of that, so that they are then aware of what's important. Because if it's just us making stuff and not sharing that information with other people, then you're just going to get the same shit over and over again. So like, no, bring them in. I'm like, no, let me show you. Let me walk through why this character would not do that. This is like, let's have an open conversation. And like, I do feel like, I hope that that's a place that we're going to.
Yeah, for me, because I've done work in, you know, the civil rights, social action space, working with the Urban League, I learned stuff about other people so I could advocate for them if they're not there. So like, I like watching shows like Reservation Dogs, so I can learn more about Native Americans. So I can be like, nah, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, right, right.
They're not here right now, but I know.
Right. That's how we, and I feel like our culture, I feel like we're the ones who do that. Like we're the ones who are like, yeah, I'm gonna do research on, because we know what it feels like, right?
Yeah.
But like, you need other people to also feel like, you know, I want to do some research. Like, but I get it's hard because you'll find some shit on the internet. But like having your circle, but having people in your circle who identify that you can like bounce ideas off of is also important.
Yeah, because during that like whole movement after the George Floyd stuff, of like there was like so much activity on Twitter.
So much.
Her, this like young white young lady, she was like talking about how she was like scared to do like other characters, and it's like, why are you scared? Just Google. Like,
yeah,
it's not that difficult.
It's not that hard. It's okay. It's okay, because if you don't, I mean, let's be clear. Like the makeup of the industry is still very predominantly white. So like, if you're going to back away from it completely, then again, we're being erased. And that's
not
the goal. That's not the goal. So,
Cause they, I feel like they're afraid to do like a caricature, but usually the caricatures, unless somebody is very nefarious, like the caricatures are because you're doing it from memory and not because you're actually doing research to see how, what we look like.
Right. Right.
So I remember in my interview with Dan Haskett, it was like, you have to see us.
Yeah.
See us.
Right, right, right. Yes, I love that. I love that. Yeah.
So as you get more years under your belt in the animation industry, what do you feel like, unless you already feel like you have it, like what is your purpose in regards to Blackness and Black professionals in animation?
I think it's funny because I'm very much an extroverted introvert. So like, I'll go out and be like, yeah, I'll do the thing. And then I'll be like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out. Why did I agree to do that? But, and I think the reason why I do that is because it's an opportunity for me to show my face, because there isn't a lot, you don't see a lot of Black women in animation in high up positions. So like, if I could like pimp out my role, like at all, be like, look, like I'm here, I'm doing stuff, I would do it. So I'm like, I will do all the panels and I will do all the things, because if I can inspire one Black woman who didn't know that this was an option for her, I'm happy. And so I feel like I'm doing this climb for me, for my mom, for my grandma, but also other Black women in the industry, because even now, like, when I got promoted to production manager, I was the only and first Black production manager at DreamWorks on the feature side. And so like, at first I was like, look at me. And then I was like, wait a minute, why? Okay, wait, hold on. This comes with responsibility. I need to make sure I do this right. And
right.
Like, even now as a producer, like, I don't think there's been any other Black producers. And so now I'm like, okay, how can I carve a path so damn wide that it is just like impossible for it to end with me? Like, how can I create a pipeline that allows and welcomes and embraces more women of color in this role, and being able to like show the value of having someone with my perspective in these roles? It's definitely been a journey, because I definitely, as I said, I started out being like, oh, you knew I was Black? I was hiding that fairly well. To now I'm like, hi, Shabraya, I'm Black. What's up? I don't have time because I'm on Black all the time. So what are you? But I do that now because I'm like, I feel comfortable in my skin and I want other people to feel comfortable in their skin and be like, oh, I don't have to change it up when I climb the ladder. Like, you could just be you. And that is so empowering. And like, you know, at first I was like afraid of like being the first, but now I'm like, okay, no, I am going to break some shit down. Can't wait. So how do I do more of that?
Yeah, even with my platform of like going by Black Woman Animator, because like, I'm not an animator, I'm a modeler, but it don't matter for it to be accurate for the purpose that I'm doing it. Like, I want somebody who, like a little girl, a little boy who's interested in animation to see Black Woman Animator, be like, I got it. Can I ask you some questions? It don't matter if it's not accurate. Like, because that's not the point. Everybody know what an animator is. Don't nobody know what a modeler is.
Like. Exactly. Like, modeling. What do you? Oh, so are you in Fashion Week? How does that work?
I don't need the confusion. I just
Exactly. That's so smart. That is so smart. Yeah, it's all about. A lot of it is about the visibility. Like, I feel, because even now, like, you know, I was so privileged to be able to like change things up in my major, or to do film, or to like have that internship in literally the 11th hour and then decide that I want to do animation. Like, to find that out so late in the game, I know that's happening to other people, and then other people might not have the opportunity to like, okay, like I said, my mom, like, I spent all this money on camera equipment, and if I tell my mom I'm changing my major, she's gonna kill me. So like, not everyone has that privilege. And so one of the things I'm hoping we can do is like start earlier, like talk to kids in middle school and like, cause I feel like even in high school, you're starting to like identify what you want to do. And like, animation is nowhere in that. No one's considering that. No one even knows that's an option. So like, starting earlier to talk to these kids about like, hey, here's what happens in animation. I feel like we have to do that. It's all about that visibility.
Yeah, and that's the another point on my platform is like, I was like a late bloomer because I was literally a Disney kid and drew, and I never thought about like until my senior year of high school. Funny. Like, oh, animation, maybe I should do that. Like, I'd be feeling so dumb. Like, everybody was like, yeah, I watched Lion King and I knew I wanted to do that. I was like, cool story, bro. Let me become an electrical engineer because I'm that's
so funny. Like, just for no reason. Like, you were actually doing the thing.
And yeah, then,
like,
I was actually drawing.
This isn't a life. This is for fun.
Right. Like, I'll be trying to do the posters in like, what, geography. I'm like, yes, I'll draw the map.
That is so funny. And
I just
was
like, I just never thought about it as a career. I don't know why.
See, that's a problem. The fact that you were actually doing the thing, like, I was like nowhere even near, but like the fact that you were actually doing the thing and still didn't know that that was a career. I'm like, how do we change that?
Yeah.
How do we change that?
Yeah. So what do you hope that people are doing, like Black people are doing in the current landscape to like, you know, be creative, to find out what they want to do? Like, what do you hope they're doing with all this access to technology, YouTube, Google? What do you hope?
I hope that people are just getting out and creating their own stuff. Like, get together, like build your community and just start making stuff, because the more stuff that we have out there, again, the more information is out there. I just feel like nothing can go wrong if we do that. I do feel like I have to plug. I'm like, we need more executives. We need more executives. And I don't think there's a lot of people who grow up being like, I want to be a studio executive. Like, it's something you kind of like navigate and fall into. And so please, if you are even slightly interested in the like business aspect of like running a, please, please become an executive. Even in like development, like, we need those people. We need the people who are like the decision makers, who are green lighting projects, or who are like guiding the projects that are in development. You need representation in those groups, because otherwise you're just going to get the same stuff that we've always gotten.
Yeah.
So yeah, make stuff, become an executive. Those are my only requirements. Thanks.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. So my last question is, if someone was producing a documentary about you, what things would you want them to highlight outside of your work in animation?
Wow, that's a great question. So when Beyonce plays me, I'm thinking, I would say, mentorship. I think that's been a big one for me, and like just building the communities. One of the other things I do at DreamWorks is I run our Black Employee Network.
Nice.
And so that was a great way for me to like create that space within the work environment. And that has been, I think, such a huge part of like my growth as just like a human being. And then mentorship. Like, I feel like I'm always talking to people on LinkedIn when I can. I'll be trying. There'll be a lot of messages, but I'll be trying.
Right.
But like meeting people and like building that network is something that's really, really important to me. What else? I think just like joy. We all need more joy in our lives. So like if I could just highlight the privilege and the joy that I've had just within my family and my husband, like anytime I'm going through stuff, I'm like, shut up, you're blessed. Like you have a lot going for you. Like I'm like, anytime I have a moment where I'm like, you know what, this sucks, I'm like, in the next breath, I'm like, how dare you? How dare you? So just the blessings that I've had in my life and opportunities. I always say that it's so bizarre that I've ended up where I have, because everything feels by chance. Like I've worked hard, obviously, but like the random decision to go to a different school. I was supposed to go to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo for photography and was way too lazy to put together the portfolio. So didn't get accepted. And so that, my laziness led me to Cal State Fullerton and then getting there. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have changed my major to film. And so like, it feels like all these things that just like are little by chance opportunities. And I think we don't realize how many of those things happen just because. So I would love for that. I would love for people to see that and take note of the things that are happening around them that are like actually shifting their world.
Yeah. We've essentially lived the same life in different ways because like I was like, I had three schools to choose from. Rochester Institute of Technology, which I went to, Savannah College of Art and Design, and St. Clair College in Canada, because I wanted to major in animation and like play basketball. And you know, our schools don't be half of sports. And the reason I did not apply to SCAD is because of their portfolio. Because I was like, let me go all the way up to AP Calculus my senior year and take all the classes, but like get lazy applying to college.
Okay. How's that work?
So RIT doesn't require a portfolio. Apply.
Great. I'll do that one. That sounds good. Love that for me. You know what? And that's the one I was supposed to go with anyway.
So I was like, create a portfolio of drawings that I fully have. Like I literally have my sketchbook right here, like from childhood. Like I could have done it.
But literally have it. The work is done. That is so funny.
I was like, lazy me up, please.
Yep. Yeah, like what, formalize this process? No, I don't think so. I couldn't do that. Couldn't be me.
So yeah. But so like, where can people follow you if they wanna?
Yes, LinkedIn. Obviously on Instagram at _ SHAYYRENEE. So Shay Renee, extra Y in there. Please follow me on Instagram. See my travels. Listen, I'd be on the road. You could try and catch me. But also LinkedIn.
So I want to thank you for allowing me to highlight you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And to everyone out there, I want you to like so I know it's real. Comment and tell me how you feel. Subscribe to Celadel and sign up for post notifications to show your zeal. And I'll see you in the next video.
Yay. Peace.